Let me say this about the exercises. These require a little bit more thought, a little bit more research and attention. So today, you're going to have some introduction to the exercises, and you're going to have this in a digital file to take home. And I encourage you to work with this when you get home as you are developing your action plans. Okay? So let's go on. Now, my guess is, how many of you in this room, apart from the law student and the two lawyers, have had a class in law or any kind of training in law? Okay, so let me give you some ideas about what you want to take into consideration when you are looking at your rule of law situation. Law can only act on the actor in the system, which can be an individual person or an entity, or it can act on a transaction or a procedure. Okay? Some people say it can also act on a product. We make product specifications in the medicine sector, so we could say that the law is acting on that product. But actually, the law is acting on the actor or the entity, the person that wants to register the medicine, or the wholesaler or the distributor is the actor, or the transaction, sell at wholesale, sell at retail, manufacture, import, export, these are transactions, conduct a clinical trial. So the law only works on these things because the law in effect controls behavior, it structures behavior. But not only
Excuse
does...
Excuse me, because we can't see you on your...
Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you. Oh, look at that. It's like, you know, it's Halloween. It's Halloween this week, so I could be the witch, you know? Or the magician.
The number one thing.
You like the witch or the magician? Oh, I see. So I can do this. Okay. So it works on the entity or the transaction. And there are many entities in the many actors in the system, both public and private. Okay, so we have the Ministry of Health itself, that's the government agency. We have the Medicines Regulatory Authority, that's the government office. And then within it, there's the minister and the principal secretary and the staff, not only of headquarters, but the regional health offices. You have countries here with regional health systems. The health professionals, the doctors and the nurses that work in the hospitals and the clinics, and the pharmacies, and then the non-staff members of your various committees, commissions, and boards, etc. And there are other government offices. There's the office that does procurement for you. It may not be in the Ministry of Health, right? It might be in the Ministry of Finance, and or there might be a procurement office in the Ministry of Health that you don't have any control over, right? Because it's managed by the Ministry of Health. And then you have all these other people here, researchers, prescribers, dispensers, etc., and your transactions. So when you're thinking through your accountability questions, when you're thinking through your transparency questions, your conflict of interest questions, and how we relate the law, I want you to think about who are the actors or the transactions, and each one needs to be considered for transparency, accountability, and conflict of interest, each one. Okay? It's not possible to create those kinds of systems in the law or otherwise in a global sense. They're very specific. Now, where is the law? Is there a law? And what does it do? So one of the things that the law does is it establishes the medicine's regulatory authority. In a lot of countries I work in, there's no law establishing the medicine's regulatory authority because it's a holdover from the system when the Ministry of Health was the provider of health services and the purchaser of medicines. There was a chief pharmacist, is what there was. And that chief pharmacist is not really the regulator of the entire sector. So one of the things we want to look at is there any law that creates an institution called an MRA? Okay? And that law would define and limit its functions. It vests mandates. It says the Ministry of Health or the Medicines Regulatory Authority shall do something, right? And that shall is a legal mandate. It means you must do it. And it gives you a scope, which is the scope of products, medicinal products, maybe natural health products, maybe traditional health products, maybe poisons. It could include food, it could include cosmetics. Each of your countries has a different scope. And you are responsible for those products and the people, the actors, and the transactions around those products. And it also coordinates with other government offices. The law in this area, I'm going to find my pointer here, is not necessarily going to be in your law that creates the Medicines Regulatory Office or the Ministry of Health. In Pakistan, for example, where I did some work in the spring, there's something called rules of business. And those rules of business are an entirely different area of the law that to tell the medicines regulator in Pakistan how it works with the regional office. We have a gentleman here from your region again, is
Lahore.
Okay. We have different ways of structuring the way government works with itself. So we have to look at those things. And the law does something else. Remember, so we have those actors, we have those products, we have those transactions. The law, most importantly, does this. Okay? It grants people the right to do something. It's not a right to walk in and sell a product in a country. Not your right, it's a privilege. So the law grants that right, and it also limits the behavior. It is unlawful to sell a medicinal product in, let's say, Egypt, unless it is registered with the Medicines Regulatory Authority. So it's limiting behavior. And that's what it does. But it also limits the behavior of you, right? It gives you, as regulators, your marching orders, what you're supposed to do every day. So it also limits what you do. And what's the most obvious limitation on what you do? It means that you don't have anything to do with satellite television, right? You don't have anything to do with trucks on the road, right? Unless they're carrying medicine, then you have a right. So you have to have a connection to your regulatory power. And it finally establishes the regulatory system. Now, people use this word enforcement a lot. And I'm going to show you a little bit later why this word is very limiting in our thinking. So I want you to think about a regulatory system which includes some basic elements. And these must be in your law. One is you have to set standards of some sort. Your specifications, your pharmacopoeia, you know, what should a wholesaler do in terms of GMP, etc. These are your standards. And then there is some sort of mechanism called inspection to determine if you are in compliance with those standards. And that happens before you get your license, while you're operating. Those are the times. Or on the delivery of shipment, those kinds of points when inspection occurs. It also gives the power to issue a license, a permit, or a registration. And I divide those words up to be clear, because we mix the words up sometimes, I find. And so, a license, an establishment, a wholesaler, a distributor, a warehouseman, we issue a permit for a transaction, import, clinical trial, export, or transactions, and we register products and give them marketing authorization. So we do those things with the law. Now, at some point, when people are not doing what they're supposed to do, we need a way to take some appropriate action. And this is the regulatory enforcement action that we hear about. And many of you said yesterday in your country reports that you need an appeal body. And this appeal body, I think the word is a little bit misleading, because in appeal, we think about, well, you've already been to court and you lost, and you want to take the case to another higher court that would review. I like to use the word internal review board or body, which is a way of reviewing the actions of the regulator in terms of the standards that apply that were observed during inspection, and now somebody has to make a decision of whether or not the standards were followed, and then what punishment to impose, what action to take. There's another thing that happens in regulatory actions, and that is that the medicines regulatory authority would refer criminal cases to who? The prosecutor, right? You're going to provide some evidence to that prosecutor, your inspection results, or there's also possibly a civil action to take. So there's another step that can happen. And those are usually done by the legal team, or the minister has that power to do it. So that's what the law does. And one thing I can tell you is, and I think it's been pretty much written up in a lot of places, if the basic legislation is not sufficient in covering these kinds of issues, then things are not going to work well. Now, law is just a skeleton. It's Halloween next week where I live, and probably lots of places. I see costumes in the store, so I had to use a skeleton. The bones of your regulatory system is the law. It's the architecture. But the muscle, the tendons, is what you do in your regulations, your guidelines, your standards, your procedures, etc. And that is what I show in this next slide. Okay? So law is really a continuum. And what I want you to understand about this topic is something very important. Because too often when I work in a country, I see that we're missing something in the law because we haven't remembered to limit behavior or grant a privilege or to require the medicines regulatory authority to do something. Okay? Those three things have to be in the law that Parliament makes. That also includes, by the way, the requirement of the payment of fees, as well as the imposition of sanctions, whatever those sanctions are going to be, has to be in the law that Parliament makes, okay? Your lawmaking body. What I see happening is that sometimes we realize as we read the law or as we're going through our day-to-day work, it's not there. So we issue a regulation, which comes from the ministry itself, right? Or in some countries, like in Afghanistan, it can come from the cabinet, is one form of a regulation, or it can come from the ministry itself. It's another form of regulation, which has a sector-specific application versus a countrywide application. But anyway, if it's here but not here, this is not enforceable. So already, your manufacturer will say to you, well, too bad, you don't have the authority to do that. And I've seen too many times when inspectors walk into an office and the guy says, sorry, you can't inspect me because you don't have the authority. And the inspector leaves. And what happens is that the bad behavior is continuing. So it's really important as you go through your action plans is to make sure that the functions and activities you need that have to be in the law are there. And then in the regulations, you put your details, your specifics, your procedures, your timelines, etc. And in standards, guidelines, lists, or license conditions, you put a lot of other things. Okay? And why do you want to put them there? You want to put them there because these you can change without going through what? The political process, right? When all of a sudden, like this week, there's a meeting in Geneva on narcotics, and they're deciding whether 12 more chemical compounds will be added to the schedules of narcotic controlled substances, right? When that scientific and technical requirement changes, you don't want to go to Parliament. You need to be able to change your list and your schedule right away, right from your desk. And you do that because you have it in this much more flexible and responsive document that puts together your scientific and technical requirements. It doesn't go here, it doesn't go here, it goes here. The same with fees and your schedules of what's an over-the-counter product, what's a behind-the-counter product, those kinds of changes that you're making all the time as science changes, you want to put in a flexible document. It is legal and binding on the people who you regulate because the law says, and the ministry shall issue regulations and guidelines, lists, schedules, etc., to govern the sector. And that's how you put it together and why it becomes a continuum. It's not something, I keep walking in front, sorry. That's why it's a continuum. They have to be connected, and it's a thread that is important to trace at some point in time. Okay, any questions on that? Any questions on that?
Just so what you mean is that the guidelines are, they have enforcement power, but this is enacted by law.
Correct.
So,
can I say that again loudly for everyone
here? Okay. So this means that the guidelines are actually have their also enforcement power, and you have to comply to them, although they are not a law. But then it's an act. It's granted. because of the granted authority by law.
Yes. So, yes. Everybody get that? Yes. Very important that you understand that the law itself has to give you the power to issue those guidelines to govern the particular transaction or the actor, right? And once it's authorized by law in the act itself, and it usually is, by the way, it's usually there, okay? But the legal connection has to be, then this becomes binding. Okay, you have a question?
Is there any difference between rules and regulations?
Good question. What's the difference between a rule and a regulation? This word regulation, I wish we'd come up with another word. Okay? Because a regulation is a legal instrument, right? Every one of your countries has something called rulemaking power. Everybody with me here? Okay. It has rulemaking power to issue something called a regulation. These are administrative laws, is what they are. They're sometimes referred to as subnational legislation because it's not issued by parliament. And so a rule, some people refer to these as rules. The word rule has different meanings in different legal systems, and so we have to be careful. Sometimes it is very contextual to your country, what your country has as what it calls this thing. Okay? Most generally, most frequently, we call it a regulation. Sometimes we call them rules, agency rules, ministry rules, these kinds of things. The verb that we all are using is you regulate, right? You regulate, which is the act of governing. And we use sometimes regulations as legal instruments to guide our act of governing. Okay? And you are regulators, right? You're regulators. You're a medicine's regulatory authority is what you are, right? Yeah? Sure.
We place usually,
we place rules in between the law and the regulations. And the power of empowerment for empowering the rule. It's different level, and the regulation is a level below.
Yes.
This is how,
Yes, that's right. Every country has a system for this. On the side. Every country has a system for this relationship. It's important for you to learn it, okay? Make it an action point that you learn this, okay?
How is it?
Huh?
How would you define this word? How would you? So how would you name regulation in general as a function in a system, and how would you differentiate between regulation as a document? What is the word of, like, if you want to look on to the function to regulate things in the healthcare system, would it be called also regulation, or is regulation just a legal document?
It's called rulemaking. Usually we call it rulemaking.
Rulemaking, just like the whole ecosystem of...
Yes, every government agent, every government ministry has this power. It's part of every legal system. You have the power to issue regulations.
Is this not working? The one I have on?
Is the one? This not working?
It's working. No, it's not very long.
Questions? Is that better? Is that better? Okay. So every country has its way of describing this power, and it's usually not in the health law. It's in another body of law, such as the rules of government, rules of business. They're called the rules of business in Pakistan. In Afghanistan, the Muqarrada, the Laiha structure is well known to everybody. These are words used to describe regulations in Afghanistan. So, and let's maybe our colleague from Tunisia, you following what we're talking, what's it called in Tunisia? The regulation. Yes, the power is the regulation.
Laiha is Laiha. La la la, Laiha.
No
regulations, Maman. The whole process? تشريعات التشريع بيبقى كل طب ترجمي لي تشريعات بالعربي انجليزي
legislation
all right
so yes
terminologies
have you not taken it yet
Exactly how to trace this in your own system. You need to think through and understand it. It's highly textual. I can't answer for your particular system what's going on. Okay? If I were there, I could figure it out, but I can't do that now. But I promise you that there is a way to impose these guidelines on your actors and your transactions in your system and your products. Okay? And you have to make sure you trace it, but you can't do it unless you break down each kind of actor and transaction, and you look at your law, and you map your law, and you find the relationship between the law to the regulation to the guideline. If there's a gap there, then the lawyer's right, and he probably has, he knows the gap. Now, but it's not his job necessarily to fix the gap. It's your job to say to him, fix this gap for me, right? So that, and that I can have this as a regulatory tool. I don't have this tool now, I want this tool. Okay, who's next?
Yeah. Just to look at this slide, by giving example of our country, Pakistan, that law is the act of parliament.
Yes.
Then comes the regulations. These are the statutory notification to be done by the federal government. And in this case, it is the prime minister, federal government. Then comes the regulations.
Yes.
These are the non-statutory document to be done and to be approved by the policy board of, some you can say, board of governors of the MRA, which we call DRAFT's policy board. These are the regulations.
That's right.
And then comes the standards, guidelines, schedules.
Right.
These are the documents which are adopted and assumed by the institution itself.
Correct.
Yeah. So it is the basic hierarchy of the document,
yes,
legal requirements,
yes,
which is to be done by the every country, eating into its own regulatory positions.
Right.
But, excuse me, but back to the police point, I think that all these regulations, up to the end, should be signed from the Prime Minister.
No.
Not the committee.
Actually, there is one missing link. First law, then comes the rules, and then comes the regulations.
All right, hold on a sec, please.
Yeah.
Action item for your action plan. Learn your system because it's going to be different in each country.
Yeah.
Okay. In Afghanistan, for example, the cabinet makes regulations.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is
which we have been requested an act. After law, we have acts.
Yes.
Acts can be signed by the cabinet. It doesn't go to the parliament.
That's right. Yes. So
each and then issue these guidelines, that's only board of directors or any ministry, they can approve it.
That's right. So you all have to learn your system of government. Go ahead. Okay, hold on, everyone.
Exactly, this is what is going on in Oman. Laws need to be issued against loyalty. Means from the Majesty's Sultan. Then regulations and rules need to be signed by ministerial decision. That's from Minister of Health. Then the circulars, which are going to enforce those rules and regulations and the law, might be signed by each head unit. For example, the Director General of Pharmaceutical Affairs and Drug Control can issue a number of circulars to regulate or sometimes to demonstrate even the rules and regulations like that.
Yeah,
yeah, this is
excellent. Awesome. Thank you. Okay. So everyone got the point. It's an action item, and this has to be something you need to trace in your system for all of the, where you have your challenges. Some of you mentioned selection, for example, as a challenge. Okay, now yesterday I heard some of you say, okay, now one of the things that the definition of good governance talks about is effective regulatory systems. This is a definition from our former colleague Lembit Rego at WHO. How many of you knew Lembit? He's changed positions now. And Lembit did an article in 2014 where he tried to describe what's an effective and efficient regulatory system. Again, we're looking at adequate legislation, we're looking at organizational structure, we're looking at clearly defined roles and responsibilities, et cetera. And there's that appeal body yet again. And so, we know about the MRA functions. Question, yes. What do you mean by autonomous? In which regard? Okay. What do we mean by autonomous? Okay. Can you hear me? Is this mic working? Okay. In the guidance from WHO, it talks about a autonomous medicines regulatory authority. This word autonomous gets me into so much trouble. What does it mean? It means the decisions of the medicines regulatory authority are autonomous. They are free from influence, non-technical influence, right? Such as political influence or inappropriate influence. It does not necessarily mean that the medicines regulatory authority is an entirely separate government agency. Usually, the MRA sits within the Ministry of Health, right? How many of your offices sit within the Ministry of Health? All of them, right? All of them. Huh? No? Yours is not? Okay, so you are a separate government agency. Sorry? You're a unit of the Ministry of Health, right?
It was the Ministry of Health. Outside the Ministry of Health, it is under one is supervision of the Ministry of Health. But then I can run you for the understanding who is executive arm of the Ministry of Health. So it is not in the organizational structure of the organization. But they report to the Minister of Health, who is responsible for the public health. And I raise a question because I like just to have a clear understanding. Because it even was created by the WHO to ensure the technical independence and financial independence to the outside instructors.
Okay, so this is a hard question to answer because the way people describe the placement of the Medicines Regulatory Authority in the Ministry of Health is varied. So let's assume for the moment we have
we have a minute, we have different ministries, right? We have ministry of health. We have education. Defense. Agriculture. You name it, right? We have a lot of ministries, right? So within the ministry of health, usually there is a unit of the ministry of health that does public health, traditional public health, surveillance, epidemiology, population level health interventions, right? So that's public health. Then we have another unit that's responsible for health care services, hospitals, clinics, primary health care, et cetera, okay? And then we have another unit that's responsible for medicines regulation, correct? Those are the three core functions of the Ministry of Health, no? Is that any other responsibility?
Yeah. Example is that they are responsible for policies, for planning, for the Department for Farms and Medicine and NRA is outside
the investment into the show plan,
not to the ministry.
Well,
the supervisor or the care of the board of this
So the chair of the independent pharmacy board is the minister.
Yes.
Okay. And the minister also is in charge of the Ministry of Health.
Yeah.
Right. That procures medicine.
Also, it's autonomous agency, but also directly to the minister.
I understand. Okay. So autonomous is in what? In decision making.
Yes.
I don't want to put you on the spot because I don't have the full story for your point of view that I want to understand. I don't want to say something that's not correct, right?
Okay.
But if the minister sits on the pharmacy board, he or she is also the minister of the Ministry of Health that procures medicines for the public health sector, right? The minister sits there. The minister is the person we take appeals to.
No.
What do we want to do? We want to remove the minister from the pharmacy board. Not always easy to do, I have to say, or the principal secretary, right? And so, because who do we want on the pharmacy board? The board that makes decisions on registration and licensing, etc. Who do we want there? We want people who are not making other decisions, like on procurement, right? So autonomy has to deal with how are decisions made within the system so that they are made on a technical scientific basis without undue influence.
Yes.
Right? Inappropriate influence. Or without that, or just non-scientific decisions. Right? Okay. In the interest of time, getting on to the next exercise, let's keep going. So I want you to think about yes. Okay, everybody, can we remind ourselves, please, of our rules of engagement here in terms of talking while we're working on this, please? It's really hard to hear. Okay, so now let's go to exercise. This, just want you to think about this question. We know what the essential functions of a medicines regulator are: selection, registration, inspection, quality assurance, etc. You have that list. You know that list really well. And the assessment tool was created around those functions. But I suggest to you that there are some other functions that we need to add to the list, such as good governance department or an institutional development department, which I heard Egypt talk about yesterday. Bravo. Capacity development or socialization. It's important that everyone across the system understands some of the things you're doing. Management and supervision. How many times has your inspector, the inspectors in your department, had to report it to the head of the department to show that they were inspecting according to the standards? We built a checklist system in Afghanistan in private hospitals And a review and monitoring system by the head of department to make sure that the staff were applying those standards correctly. So management and supervision is a very big part of it. So is there a management and supervision structure? Coordination with other government offices. Are these not the functions of a regulator to regulate you? So when you do your action plans, consider, are there some other functions you may want to add to your list? And the exercise now is for you to have a look at your law. Do you all know how to find your Medicines Act? Do you all know how to find your Medicines Act? Yes? You all have a copy of it? Anybody who doesn't know where their Medicines Act is? Everybody has it. Okay, I want you to open up your Medicines Act.
First action point. You need to read your action.
You need what?
You need to read your law. The laws that are
to make, right?
That's right. So your first action, another action, is read your law. Okay. Has everybody got their law open on their laptops there?
If you don't have it, look for it.
You have a copy of it at your desk. Do you have a copy of your Medicines Act?
The general pharmacy.
It may have different names. Some countries call it the Medicines and Medicines Act. Some people call it the Pharmacy Act. Sorry, Pharmacy Practice Law.